Yes! I had found someone that would buy my refrigerator on Craigslist. I needed money to pay for college. I was in my last year and I needed money for tuition. I didn't want to bother my brother because I knew how much he was struggling. It was just the two of us, and he struggled a lot working two jobs to get me into college. If there was a way to ease the burden off him, I would do it. That was why I was trying to sell some of my stuff. The money I had now was just half of what I needed. I decided to use a delivery company to get the refrigerator to the person who bought it. That way, I wouldn't be stressed. I paced as I thought about what else I could sell that would bring in the rest of the money. I glanced at my small TV and immediately put it up on Craigslist. I decided to put up a couple of my bags, too. I knew they would fetch me enough money. It was so easy to have something sold these days. I went to the kitchen to fix myself something to eat while I waited for my items to be bought. The price I was asking for was a little high, but I was confident that someone would be willing to buy. As I finished my bowl of Fruit Loops, my laptop pinged. I rushed to it and saw that one person was buying all the items. I should have been suspicious, but I was just excited that I would finally be able to pay for college. I hurried to my room and packed all the bags neatly so I could have them delivered. I decided to get them delivered myself so I could save some of the money. I carried the packages out of my tiny apartment, struggling with the TV. I managed to get it out safely without any damage to myself or the TV. The buyer had agreed to meet me at a subway station not far from here. I took a bus, giddy with excitement. I got to the subway station and texted the buyer that I'd arrived there. A text came in asking what I was wearing, and I replied that I was wearing a gray sweatshirt and black jeans. A man walked towards me, cocking his head to one side. "Craigslist?" he asked. I nodded enthusiastically and pointed to the load on the floor beside me. "This is everything. You can check them to see for yourself." "I'll take your word for it," he said, smiling. "Here's the cash." I got the money and counted it quickly. It was complete. I thanked the man and hurried back home. I had to save the money in the bank so it would be easy for me to pay my fees when I wanted to. The session wasn't going to resume for another month, so I still had time on my hands. I decided to go to the bank the next morning. I would still have some money left, and I began to plan for the things I would buy with it. I sighed as I thought about getting a part-time job so I wouldn't be caught in a situation like this anymore. My brother called, and I picked up cheerfully. He asked if I needed cash, and I told him that I was fine. I told him not to worry about me and that I would handle myself. Immediately after the call, a text came into my phone. I checked and saw that it was the buyer. I wondered if there was a problem before checking the contents of the message. "Those bills are fake." The joy I'd been feeling got deflated. What did he mean? I hurried to where I kept the money and went to inspect the notes. I couldn't detect any difference between the money he gave me and the authentic ones. "What?" I texted back. "The notes are fake. If I were you, I wouldn't be spending that. I only needed to get rid of them, so I bought the first thing I saw. Your things are a bit overpriced, but I'm sure I'll get a good price for them. It was nice doing business with you." I texted back immediately, but there was no reply anymore. I started to cry. I had sold my belongings only to have fake money in my hands. What was I supposed to do now? I couldn't sleep. What was on my mind was that there was no way I could let my brother know what happened. I formulated a plan to use the money, and I could only hope I wouldn't get caught. The next day, I summoned up courage and took the money out. I only had one shot at this. I went to a store that I was sure had a return policy. I bought an expensive bag and paid with the fake cash. I honestly thought I would get caught, but I didn't. As I got outside the store, I made a show of admiring the bag and turning it every which way. I stealthily pulled out a pocket knife and cut the bag a little. Then I gasped dramatically and stormed into the store. "This bag is defective!" I yelled, drawing the attention of everyone in the store. The attendants quickly came up to me and quietly asked me what the problem was. I knew they wouldn't want me to make a scene. I thrust the bag into their faces and showed them where I'd made a slash on the fine leather. "Is this what you sold to me? I can't stand this!" They began to plead with me, and I told them I wouldn't press charges if they would give me my money back. They agreed and handed me back the money I bought the bag with. I knew that in the time I bought the bag and came back, the fake notes would have been covered by more money, so I was sure that the notes they gave me was authentic. I went out of the store looking annoyed. and celebrated my victory. Just then, I heard someone call from behind me. It was one of the attendants, and she was running towards me. I took off running, not looking back. My heart was pounding. They'd caught me somehow. I darted across the street, the money in the envelope clutched in my hand. I ran towards a taxi and managed to get in it. I turned around to see the security guard from the store glaring at me. I guess that meant I wouldn't be going back to that store. When I got to my apartment, I found my door open. I went in carefully, wondering if I forgot to close the door on my way out. Hello. Seems you got rid of the fake bills. My mouth opened as I saw the man that had given me the money in the first place sitting comfortably on my sofa. I could use someone like you, he said. I swallowed when I saw the gun peeking from his waist. Wasn't like I had a choice. Suddenly, my door got kicked in. Police! Put your hands where I can see them! I complied and dropped to the floor when I saw the man swing his gun toward the cop. A tranquilizer was shot in his chest before he could fire. We were both arrested, and I spent 4 months in jail.
We're really sorry, Jenny, but due to the current turn the economy's taking, we as a company are downsizing, and it's unfortunate that you'll have to leave us.
The manager and I glared at each other. The hate was mutual. I stood up without a word and made to leave. Get your envelope at the front desk, he called out with an ill-disguised chuckle. I slammed the door. It had been 2 months since I lost my job at the factory, and all I'd been doing was surfing Craigslist for gigs. They were far and in between. College did not work for me, and now I was jobless. A lot of people were in my situation too, and they turned to Craigslist as well. It was crowded, but I got the occasional gigs. Weird deliveries, guide jobs, and even watching pets. I was surfing the site again, and I was doing what I promised to try to avoid. I had left the gig section, and was now looking at houses I would never be able to afford. They were pretty, and I'd been on my laptop for hours groaning over how few the baths are, and how the pool area should have been done better. I considered a few kitchens that needed to be redone, and so it went. A growl brought me out of my funk, and I remembered that I took on a couple's dog for a week. They were on vacation and I was getting paid. Plus, it was a cute dog. But he's hungry now, and I got up to feed him. I stretched my entire body, and my joints yelped their snapping protests. I quickly fed the dog and grabbed a bagel and a glass of orange juice and went back to my station. Those houses needed checking. There was a notification ding, and it was from the site. I had a message. Turned out to be a reply from a gig I applied for during the week. The requirements were oddly specific. A 20-year-old lady to clean old furniture. But I guessed I fit in, and so I applied. The notification was that I had gotten the gig. An address had been given, and I was told to come with coveralls and a mask for the dust. It was Friday, which was tomorrow. I chewed on the bagel thoughtfully and input the address into Maps. Turned out to be a place I could find easily. I shot back an acknowledgement. The house needed cleaning. Friday came, and the sun was out in splendor. It was good weather. And as I shooed Major, the dog, into the back of my beat-up Camry, I hoped it would be a good day, too. We took off and began the journey to the address. The GPS was primed with it, too, just in case my knowledge of the area was not enough. It was afternoon when we arrived at the general area the address would be found. And it looked like the area had seen better days. Most residents had moved on, evident in the boarded-up windows and doors of houses. Some were occupied, but they were in the minority. It was the same when I turned into the street for the address, and kept going up the line till I saw a sign at the end of the house. It was built like the other houses, but it looked to be in a very bad condition. Probably old folks. I got out of the car, and Major bounded up beside me as we walked to the door. I knocked and looked around the street. No one was about, and the quiet was disconcerting. I knocked again, this time harder, but I didn't get a response. I was about to knock the third time when I heard a weak voice call out from inside the house. Almost immediately, a frail old lady opened up and hobbled out to the porch with her cane. Beads of sweat from the hot day were all over my body, and they immediately went cold. I shivered involuntarily, and the dog began to whine.
Hello, dear. You're the furniture duster, right?
The old lady said in her weak voice. Yes, that's me. I managed to stutter, still cold. Major's whining had become louder, and his paws were scratching on the porch. The old lady took a look at him and chuckled.
A little restless, are we? Must be the heat has gotten to him.
She moved to pet him on the head, and I saw her nails, gnarled and dark with age. Major leapt clear out of her reach and sprinted to the car. I went to open it for him and crank the windows down a bit for air, and was about turning back when, briefly, the thought of getting into the car and leaving flitted through my mind. The street was still empty and quiet. I turned back to the old lady's house, and I caught her when she was already in the hallway. Everything in the house looked like it needed, no, craved, dusting. I wondered why I was called for only furniture. She kept her slow pace, and I followed dutifully behind her. She suddenly came on a door and stopped abruptly. I almost ran into her, but I held back at the last moment.
The furniture is in here, honey. Dust away,
she chuckled.
And mind the lamps. Don't break them.
I nodded, and she opened the door. A cloud of dust floated past us, and I shuddered again.
I'll be in the house if you need me,
she mentioned. I looked around the room, and it was as if the dust in the entire house emanated from here. I walked towards one particularly old sofa and ran my finger across it. It came off heavily coated in dust. A sigh escaped me. I knew it would be a long day. I wanted to go down and ask the lady for cleaning supplies when a soft wind blew into the room. The windows were shut, but it came from that direction. My feet carried me in the direction of the shut window when I heard the sound of hinges slowly turning. I turned back around just in time for the only door to the room to yawn shut. My heart started thumping loudly. I tried to keep calm, but the events since I got here made my skin crawl. My heart beat louder.
Jenny? Jenny? Come help me!
The old lady's voice rang out from what seemed to be deep in the house. How did she know my name? My fingers started to shake at this point, but I managed to get to the door and try to open it. It was locked. The old lady shouted out again, and I tried harder. The door swung open this time. Another cloud of dust eased out. As I ran out of the room, I could hear Major barking from the car. I noticed I was muttering incoherently, but I kept going in the direction of the old lady's voice. I had slowed down and pulled my phone out to call the police in case she was stuck or wounded. There were no network bars. Shit! I spat out, pocketed the phone. She called out my name again, and I remembered it was on my Craigslist account she must have gotten it from. She was in the basement. My jeans ripped a little tear as I bounded down the stairs, and the cold was overwhelming here. I reached the bottom of the stairs and turned around, and my eyes met hers. She chuckled. It sounded more sinister than it had been on the porch. Her robe had come loose, but underneath was a shining luminescence. Her eyes were wild, and only the whites showed. She was floating, her cane on the ground before her. The cold struck me directly. It was coming from her. All of a sudden, I started moving toward her, involuntarily, sliding, more like it. She was drawing me in. I tried to move my muscles to pull away, but nothing happened. I couldn't feel my limbs. My brain screamed with fear. There was nothing I could do about it, and my paralysis weighed heavily on me as I inched closer. I tried to close my eyes, but as soon as she realized what I was doing, my eyelids shot back open. My eyes were open, but as I got closer, I started losing consciousness. All the skin crawling and heart thumping on my insides were going to come to a stop, I was convinced. And then I was right before her, only slightly below.
You are mine,
she whispered fiercely, and proceeded to reach out for my forehead with a gnarled nail. Major knocked her out of the air. He stood there barking, and I felt the overwhelming cold rush away from me. My muscles and bones worked again. I stood up awkwardly and looked at her. She was out cold, but she was stirring. Major, I shouted, let's go!
My savior didn't need any other prompting. He shot up the stairs and I followed his heels closely. I didn't look back until I got into the car and peeled away. Only several miles later did I ease my foot off the gas, and my breathing eased. It was a close thing, and I patted Major on the head. The remnants of the cold still lingered, but I would be home soon, sheltered.